I mentioned that the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, had come out of the National Cabinet meeting, which was convened. It was a virtual meeting. They weren't all there in Canberra, but he's come out to explain where they've landed on the issue around violence against women, because we all know the facts are there. 27 women have been murdered by their current or ex-partners in the space of this year so far. It is an alarming and damning statistic. The PM has emerged, and the headline act is a $925 million policy around leaving violent situations. Now, we'll get some details in a second from Zach Da Silva as to what that might mean. Here's some of what the PM had to say a while ago.
This is indeed a national crisis, and it's a national challenge. And we're facing this with a spirit of national unity. Today is about who we are as a nation and as a society. We recognise that governments need to act, but we also recognise that this is an issue for the whole of society, not just for governments. We also recognise that this has a traumatic impact on children. Too many children are growing up in households or witnessing violence, or in the worst cases, of course, children growing up without their mums because of their murder at the hands of a domestic partner or a former domestic partner. We want to change this.
All right, that's the PM giving, you know, some of those generalised statements around this. What's the detail? Let's go to Zach Da Silva now, a Nine political reporter, joins me on the line. G'day, Zach.
G'day, good to be with you.
$925 million over 5 years to be spent how?
Yeah, so this is permanently establishing what the government's calling the Leaving Violence program. So the argument is, at the moment, if you're a woman in an abusive relationship, it can be really hard to leave. Things like, where do you stay? And if you do get a place, then, you know, like basic things like getting appliances, fitting the place out, that kind of thing. Now, this program has actually been running as a trial. It was set up in late October 2021 as a 2-year trial. And in the last kind of half hour or so, I've found that the final report evaluating exactly how it went. And it found that it went quite well. It was, you know, nearly 20,000 people accessed it. You get like $5,000 in financial assistance is the main part of this. So that's a cash or equivalent payment of up to $1,500, the remainder in goods, services and support. So some of the other things that you might need if you're, you know, having to pack up and leave home and leave this relationship. The idea being, yeah, that it makes it easier for women to get out of these violent situations. So that $925 million, that'll be included in the budget, which is going to be announced in a couple of weeks, which is going to be handed down in a couple of weeks' time. It'll be spent over 5 years setting up that program and turning it from a trial into a permanent long-term thing.
Can I ask you whether you think that this was going to be announced in the budget anyway, or has it come out of this National Cabinet meeting?
Look, I mean, that's a great question, and there are probably not that many people who can answer that with all of the facts. These are the kinds of things that governments like to announce in budget. Yeah. I think it's been given extra impetus in the last few weeks. One, seeing the huge numbers of women who are being killed by men, many allegedly at the hands of current or former partners. I think that's really thrust the issue back into the spotlight, and then the protests over the weekend. So there's clearly a political element to this as well. The government is seeing that people really, understandably, really care about this. And this is an issue that people go, well, you know, what's government for if you're not addressing these kinds of things? Whether it was something that, you know, was going to be in the budget already, I suspect it was something that they were looking at.
And, I wonder.
You know, it's not like,
Zach, I mean, I suppose I'm saying, did they already have that shot in their locker? They were ready to go with it. And so therefore I would say, okay, so what's come out of the National Cabinet meeting, I wonder? Do we know anything else?
I mean, there are a couple of other measures. Yeah. The thing I found interesting about National Cabinet is normally the point of National Cabinet is cooperation between the states and territories. The headline here is actually it's a fully federally funded program.
Right.
It's not something that's done between the states and territories. However, there are a bunch of other measures, and there's clearly a lot of state and territory cooperation that would be needed on this program. Things like, you know, if you do leave an abusive relationship, what kind of support services are there? That's going to vary state to state. Obviously, police involvement is going to be different state to state. So it needed to be thrashed out at National Cabinet. In terms of some of the other measures, they're launching an online campaign. This is what kind of the longer term side of this, tackling the attitudes of misogyny, the things that we know lead to domestic violence. There'll be an online campaign, a new phase of a Stop It at the Start campaign that'll launch in mid-June. And the way Communications Minister Michelle Rowland explained it, the idea is to have this campaign running in spaces where misogynistic content is being shared, to kind of directly challenge that material at the same time as it's being viewed. So that's one part of it. The other part that is interesting and also simultaneously kind of horrific is legislation to ban deepfake pornography. So this is with the advent of AI. We've seen the kind of incredible power of AI image generation, but there's a serious worry that that technology could be used to create intimate images of people without their consent. Oh. And so the government's looked at that and understandably gone, well, that's horrifying. We shouldn't have that. And they're going to bring forward laws in Parliament to ban that, essentially. Now, there's obviously a whole question around enforcement. How do you actually enforce something like that on the internet? We've seen how hard it was for the government to get just the video of the church stabbing in Sydney a couple of weeks ago taken just off one social media platform, X. Yep. So there's clearly an issue around policing here, but there's some of the other measures that the government is looking at introducing as well.
Out of interest, did anything emerge, you know, did the Prime Minister or either of the ministers talk about whether states had been asked to look harder at their bail acts in and around those offenders who have committed one offence in relation to family violence or threatening their partner or ex-partner? Do we know whether that's being looked at?
Yeah, it was something that was discussed. It was something that the ministers all kind of talked about. Whether, I don't think anything's actually come out of the meeting in terms of changes there. But yeah, that's clearly been the other thing. We've seen a number of women who've been killed where the person who allegedly killed them was on bail at the time. So clearly it looks like there's an issue there, and it looks like something that the states will probably have to address one by one. They're going to meet again in a couple of months' time to talk about this. Police ministers, state and territory police ministers, are also meeting with the Attorney General, I think, later this week. And I imagine that will be high on their agenda, given it's a kind of focus of that portfolio. So my expectation would be we will see more in this space, because it's something that going into this was flagged, that states and territories needed to unify their laws more when it came to this kind of thing and make sure they're all on the same page.
Last question, sort of different subject, but clearly the detainee saga is wearing down the Albanese government. The pressure continues in relation to Claire O'Neill and Andrew Giles's portfolios. Was he asked about whether they should be or will be sacked?
I mean, he's been asked about this a couple of times, and he's been pretty strong on it that they won't be, that they'll be staying in their jobs. But it has been interesting, right, seeing that they've both practically gone to ground. I mean, Andrew Giles did one interview yesterday on the ABC, and that was it. Claire O'Neill did her regular spot on Sunrise this morning, but neither of them are making any effort to get out there and talk about what the government's doing in this space, mostly because I suspect, in part, they see their hands as being tied. They've passed the laws to preventatively detain some of these detainees. So these are people who were released after the High Court decision. The government put through laws to go, well, if we think you pose a serious risk to the community, we should be able to lock you back up. But they haven't actually, as far as I know, they haven't actually applied for any of these people to be re-detained. Now, the government says that's because they want to make sure that they've got a really solid legal case. They don't want to go to a judge saying, can you please lock this person back up? And the judge goes, what you've given me is a load of crap and it doesn't stack up in court. Now, the opposition says it's taken way too long and it should have happened by now. And but the government is relying on the precedent that was set. Similar laws were passed with terror offenders, and it took 2 years for the first person to be detained under those laws. So the government sees that as its deadline, but it's clearly an issue that they'd rather not be talking about. And like you say, it's just kind of continuing to heap pressure on them.
Really interesting. All right. Hey, thanks very much for all of that. Appreciate it, Zach.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Good on you. Zach De Silva there, Nine political reporter, with the latest on the big $925 million commitment of the federal government to these leaving violence programs. That's where a lot of that money will go, most of it, all of it even, which is quite extraordinary. And I did pose that question because, look, the cynicism. Was it already something that was going to be announced? Because if it was already there in the can, then what's come out of the National Cabinet meeting? Have they just had to, luckily had that one in the bag and pulled that one out and said, this is what we're going to do in relation to domestic and family violence? Or is it brand new? I don't know the answer to that. Is it brand new and straight out of that decision-making that went on at the Cabinet meeting? It's an interesting question.